Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bond. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Edgecast for the week of August 24th, 2015. I'm your host, Zach. This time we have Joe.
Hey, hey.
And Chris.
Hello.
All right, so let's dive right into the show. It's actually kind of a weird, slow week of news stuff since last podcast. Like, not too much has come out, but we'll get through what we can talk about here, and then we'll dive into when checking out over the last week or so. So, as far as news goes, there's actually quite a few trailers for some indie horror movies, indie horror comedies coming up in the next month or so, because I guess we're getting closer to like October, so
yeah, the season,
the time for horror, yeah, so. I guess they're going to be on, like, a video on demand or, like, in limited theaters around that time. So we got the trailer for this movie, Hellions. Did you guys see that one?
Nope.
Well, it's got Robert Patrick in it.
Okay.
And it sort of, it kind of looks like the Sam from Trick or Treat. Like,
yeah, you know, I actually thought it. Like the weird scarecrow baby man.
Yeah, but it's like a group of like weird, evil, like child trick or treater, demonic trick or treaters, who are like stalking this girl and like want to like steal like her unborn child or something.
Classic.
Yeah, kids in packs will do that.
Yeah.
Then classic teenage move.
Yeah.
Let's get drunk and steal a fetus. Yeah.
Is that Anarchy? It's directed by Bruce McDonald, who directed Pontypool.
Oh, god damn, really? Mm-hmm. Pontypool was the shit.
And it was at Sundance earlier this year. It's coming to VO, like, video on demand on September 18th, so pretty soon here. And it looks like, just, like, the trailer, like, it looks like this movie's gonna get, like, just insanely trippy and weird by the end of it. Because, like, it just turns into, like, this weird, like, psychedelic, like, I don't know if, like, the kids are causing it, these visions or whatever, but yeah, it looks like it's gonna get, like, nuts by the end.
Hmm.
And then Robert Patrick is like the like crusty old sheriff who's like running around with this girl being like, we gotta kill these kids.
Because of course.
I've seen him before.
I don't know, I didn't see a lot of him in the trailer, but I feel like he's not gonna be in it too long.
I'm sure he'll probably get like murdered or something by the kids. He's like, come on, we gotta stop him, and then it's like 5 minutes later he's like hanging.
Classic from, horror movie sheriff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hanging from like the back of a door or something.
He's like, guys, I figured out the secret. Being choked on his own fucking like
intestine
badge, yeah, or something.
He's gonna get willied.
Eat your badge. No, I don't want to.
An axe to the back.
Yeah.
So we also got the trailer for The Final Girls, which is I think also coming. Oh, it's coming in October. Also on VOD. Was also at Sundance. And some other festivals this year. And it looks like sort of like Last Action Hero combined with like Scream.
Okay.
Cause you got a group of, like friends who go to like this, like midnight show of this movie. And so it's like, it's Thomas Middleditch from Silicon Valley and, Elias Shawcat from Rush Development and like, a bunch of other people. And but then a fire breaks out in the theater. So they cut a hole through the screen. They end up in the movie. And it's just like super cheesy, like 80s Friday the 13th movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so they basically know what's coming, so they have to kind of use their knowledge to like survive the movie. And but then they also have, like, to deal with like the characters in the movie who are just like the most stereotypical like 80s horror movie characters. Cuz like Adam Devine is like super stereotypical like 80s jock douchebag.
Mhm.
And then, sort of the twist is that, one of, like, Malin Ackerman plays one of, she was, it's like, she was in this movie when she was like a teenager or something, or like, but then she just died recently, and then like her daughter is like watching the movie, so it's like she's like interacting with her mom who's playing it, but it's like the character her mom's playing.
Oh, it's kind of like Pleasantville in that
sort. Yeah, it's like Pleasantville crossed with Scream, crossed with like Last Action Hero.
You know, I give them creative like things to do with that, because that's like really like they don't have a lot of movies like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested. Like that one really caught my attention.
It looks like there's gonna be like ton of like there's like parts where like it goes black and white and everyone's like, "Am I blind? What's going on?" And then like when like the movie goes in slow motion, everyone's just like, "What's going on?"
Our kids were home early.
Yeah, so that looks pretty cool. Like hopefully sort of like maybe like a Tucker and Dale versus Evil style.
That'd be cool.
And then the last horror trailer we got last week was the trailer for The Witch, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, because this gave the director just gotta find his name here, but it basically gave him the Nosferatu remake.
Hmm.
Wait, he had to do The Witch first,
well,
and then it's like...
He made The Witch, and it was like, everyone at Sundance was like, this is like super disturbing and awesome. And so it got picked up by A24, who put out It Follows earlier this year, and like a bunch of other... They picked up a ton of like indie horror movies. But yeah, basically like everyone was like... Everyone, like, whatever studio, whatever saw The Witch at Sundance was like, you're gonna... you all make the Nosferatu remake.
We're gonna print money.
Robert Eggers is the director. Yeah, so Witch was at Sundance, made a pretty big splash, and then it's going to be out sometime next year. I'm guessing maybe around the same time like It Follows came out this year, like that like spring time frame.
Like March?
Yeah, like March, April, sort of. Did you guys see the trailer for The Witch?
No, but now I'm very interested.
It looks super fucking disturbing and creepy. Like, it's set in, like, the early, like 1600s in, like, New England. It's, like, this family was, like, living in this, like, super, like, middle-of-nowhere farm, and then, like, they start having, like, this horrible things happen to them, and they start, like, turning at each other, basically, like, thinking, like, one of them is a witch, or, like, they're cursed by a witch, and they start doing this, like, horrible, like, punishments to, like, and, like... Like Christian penance to like try to like stop this stuff from happening.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it looks really really creepy, but like super awesome as well. So that's keep an eye out for that one next year. And then as far as action trailers go, we got the first trailer for, actually, I don't think it's the first trailer, but, like, the most recent trailer for Close Range, which is the latest from Scott Adkins.
Yeah, up and coming, sort of.
for, like, what, 5 years? How long has this guy
been? I'd say longer. Yeah. He's been around for a while. It's just, like, I don't know why he's never, like, mainstream now.
Mm-hmm. Well, X-Men 2 is probably the most mainstream he's been.
Well, he was Deadpool for that one part.
Was he?
Yeah, he was the Ryan Reynolds like stunt double.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, anyway, so Close Range. It's from the director who directed both of the Ninja movies.
So of course Scott Adkins mm-hmm. is back.
Yeah, which I don't know. Have you guys seen Ninja 2 yet? Because Ninja 2 is pretty awesome.
No.
Netflix keeps recommending me. I'm just like one day.
Mm-hmm. Both Ninja movies are pretty good. Like, the second one is definitely, like, a huge improvement over the first one. But yeah, so Close Range, it's, Scott Adkins is some sort of, like, former, like, special ops guy, or, like, former, like, soldier, and then he gets, mixed up with these corrupt cops and this drug cartel to, like, protect his sister and his niece, and then basically just, like, he decides he has to murder every single person, like, all the cops and all the drug cartel people.
It's basically Scott Adkins versus, like, that corrupt region in Mexico.
Pretty much. And, the action just looks, like super awesome. It's, like, looks like there's at least one, like, crazy, like, single take, long, hallway, like Scott, he's just like running down the hallway, just like beating people down. And then at one point, he looks like he's gonna, like gonna like try to stop a car by kicking it.
He runs up a mountain.
He runs up a mountain to like jump on top of a car, and then like there's a part where like he's either gonna like kick the car up on the hood or like jump off the hood to like flip over the car or something. So yeah, it's gonna be out sometime this year probably. So probably keep an eye on like Redbox or Netflix or Video on Demand for that one. And then moving on to other news, got some news out of Universal Studios Orlando this past week. They're going to be doing a full Fast and Furious ride.
Damn.
Which right now, like it's at the end of the like the studio tour. Like it kind of turns into like a Fast and Furious ride, but it's only like the last like 10 minutes of the ride or whatever. So this is gonna be like a full on like separate Fast and Furious ride.
It'll probably be one of those, like, I don't know, it's, like, depending on which Fast and the Furious, like, the ones where they're being chased or the ones where mm-hmm. they're actually racing.
Probably racing.
And they're going to get rid of Disaster and the Beetlejuice show.
Whoa. Disaster makes sense, because that's super, like, outdated, even when it first came out.
Well, because originally it was Earthquake, and then they turned it into, like, Disaster, it's everything.
Generic disaster, yeah. Because I remember, like, you're just in a subway.
Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. just shit starts falling and the water and the fire. That was cool. But then it's like...
It depends on, like, what seat you're in. If you're, like, in the middle of that car, you have no idea what the hell's going on. You're just like...
Yeah.
It's just like...
I've been on it pretty recently, and I was just like, all right. What's next? You know?
I remember it was, like, after all that, you just leave. Like,
well, just... right, that's what I mean. I was like, oh, that was close, I guess, or something. Thrills.
Because I remember at least Earthquake was like, follow, like, experience an earthquake, and then, Disaster, just generic disaster. So now we have, like, fire, water, and it shakes. And now it's just like, bye. Like, no, this is just what LA is at some, like, terrible point. This is.
Dude, it's better than Twister, at least.
Twister, the house ride?
That shit's bad. It's like, behold, an unkept house!
they got rid of Ghostbusters, put Twisters in that same building, so I got pissed about that.
Yeah, I never got the Ghostbusters one.
Oh, man. That whole thing was the firehouse.
So I could imagine, yeah.
Oh, it was so nice, and now it's just like... why is Twister still there? Like,
I don't know. I guess they bought the rights for like 20 years or something.
So, I mean, it's nice that they want to get rid of the... Disaster. The Beetlejuice one, like, shows are hard. Like, that's, you know, that's difficult to maintain. I get that, but isn't Beetlejuice, like, getting another hype? Like, what are we going to do with that?
I don't know, man. Last time I was there, I was like, oh, cool, they still have Beetlejuice. And then it was like, today's shows are canceled. Tomorrow's shows are canceled.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it doesn't really look like they have Beetlejuice going on. Like, what's
maybe
the
like the three guys that like can do Beetlejuice impressions left, like they're not exactly like fuck it.
They unionized.
Yeah. You know, it's not like I get slap on. Like, I mean, you have a certain look, and then you have to have that certain attitude. It's like, you know what I mean, like, you know, like in the Terminator ride, there's like you have to get the Arnold lookalike,
yeah.
come down and walk around
the
like,
and it's just like hello.
Yeah. So you gotta get that. It's like a very niche market.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, Disaster's gonna close on September 8th this year, and then Beetlejuice is gonna close
it's
sometime.
Like 10 days.
Yeah. So get on Disaster right now if you want to ride Disaster.
You can just watch a movie experience.
Yeah. And then Beetlejuice is gonna close sometime this year.
Yeah, I'd have to imagine after Halloween.
Yeah, I mean, it's gotta be like. It's got to pick up a little bit around how like Horror Nights, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, maybe.
Well, I mean, they're trying to cater to like that weird mature market now. So it's like Beetlejuice was kind of kiddie, but then the storyline to Beetlejuice the show was like he tried to bang all the female like people like in the cast. That was like the joke of the show.
Mm-hmm.
you remember the show, like, he was just like, yeah, what's up, like, Bride of Frankenstein, you want to get it, uh-huh. And, like, that was cool. Now I'm like, I appreciate that way more now as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be kind of, like, sad to see what they're going to do next.
Yeah, so I guess for the Fast and Furious ride, you're going to, like, start out, like, the line's going to go through, like, the team's headquarters, and you get to see, like, the cars and stuff. And then it's going to be, it's going to be, like, an expanded version of the part, because, like, Universal Studios Hollywood has the, like, the part of that, and the tram tour where, like, it turns into Fast and Furious, so it's going to be, like, a standalone version of that in Orlando. And it should, and then Vin Diesel, Michelle Rodriguez, Tyrese, and The Rock are going to be part of it. Like, they did, like, special things for, like, the tram tour one, so they'll probably just bring that over to the new part.
They probably, like, are holograms.
I think it's like Transformers, where, like, the screens come all the way around you.
Oh. Or just, like, backseat driving with them?
It's some sort of weird, like, yeah, like, you're in, like, a special car or something, or, like, it's, like, a special, like, sports car that has, like, 20 seats or something. Like,
yeah, it's, like, it's a minivan.
Yeah.
A Dodge Sprinter.
And I think I read, like, there's a part where, like, a helicopter, like, it's, like, Vinny just, like, jumps off a helicopter or something and, like, jumps on the car or something, or, like, The Rock is, like, flying a helicopter, and, like, it might, I think, like, Owen Shaw comes back and is, like, trying to, like, murder everybody.
It'd be hilarious, they couldn't get the rights to Jason Statham, so you have a lookalike for, like, his scenes. Or it's, like, clips from, like, The Transporter, where it's, like, he's wearing a suit, and you're like, what?
I'll transport you. This is Crank.
Oh.
Anyway, so moving on to other news. We find out who's going to co-star with Channing Tatum in Gambit. It's going to be Lea Seydoux, who was in Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, and she's going to be the Bond girl of Spectre.
Hmm.
Was she the chick that got kicked out a window in Ghost Protocol?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like the assassin who only gets paid in diamonds.
Yeah, who, like, his only weakness is open space.
Yes, windows. She's going to play Belladonna Boudreau, who is, like, the, she's part of, like, the Assassin's Guild, I guess.
I don't know. Gambit's storylines are kind of, like, meh. Like, Gambit did have his own comic series, but it only lasts, like, 20 issues.
Apparently this movie's going to be, like, they're going to, like, go with, like, in that whole crazy, like, a Thief versus Assassins New Orleans, like, guild stuff.
Oh, where everyone's, like, fighting in sewers?
Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. I wish I was fighting. Kidding. That was a thing, like, for
no,
a while.
I know.
Wasn't there, like, multiple episodes of the animated series that was, like that 90s X-Men that was, like, Gambit going back to New Orleans? I know there's definitely at least one where he went back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then it's like you discover that he comes from that weird guild, but, like, they made his guild seem like Oliver Twist's, like, guild.
Yeah.
And then he fought, like, an evil, like, super mutant guild.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was kind of cool as a one-off episode, but for a whole movie, it's just like, I don't know, like, you gotta hype this up. You gotta also put other characters I know, like, other mutants. You just can't make up characters on the fly now.
just random, like Cajun-sounding names.
It's just everyone's Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
Chance Bordeaux.
Oh my god, if Jean-Claude Van Damme shows up.
Oh man, he's like alternate Gambit, where it's just like, hey, what's going on? Yeah, like he's just a distant alternate reality Gambit that comes back in time.
Yes. He's like the Flash, he's like, they flash forward for some reason, and it's like, Channing Tatum turns into Van Damme.
Yeah, like, that's another thing. I gotta see how Channing Tatum handles a Cajun accent, because very few movies does he have an accent.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like, this is a very, like, niche market for people, because it's iconic for Gambit to be, like, Creole like this.
Yeah.
And if he isn't this, like, it's gonna be weird.
Yep, we'll have to see. When is that coming out? 2017, I think?
Yeah.
Because
who knows?
Because next year is Deadpool X-Men Apocalypse, and I think the year then gave us the year after is 2017.
I'm actually more excited about the idea of an X-Men movie that doesn't always star Wolverine. Like, that I'm actually really excited for.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I love Wolverine, like, all the X-Men movies and Wolverine movies have all been about Wolverine.
Well, except for First Class.
Yeah. Okay. But even that, like, he was the best part. Go fuck yourself. I was like, yay! I don't care. I don't care what happens after this.
Like, I like how Fox is just like, wait, it's okay now? We can say that? X-Men can swear?
You mean it's not just 8-year-olds coming to see these movies?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Anyway, speaking of Wolverine, we learned last week that Hugh Jackman might be starring in a new multi-film franchise version of The Odyssey.
Good.
Which Lionsgate's trying to get off the ground. And they have a Hunger Games director, Francis Lawrence, behind it.
Well, he knows how to adapt.
Yeah, and so if Hugh Jackman signs on, he would obviously play Odysseus.
Yeah, The Odyssey's a good story. I'm so used to like the ABC or NBC version.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So, they don't make... Because, honestly, like, they try to condense it to, like, one movie. It's going to be, like, really fast then, because they can't highlight things.
Yeah.
Well, I still remember Sean Bean was Odysseus in, like, Troy, and they just totally, like,
Yeah, the less said about Troy, the better.
I didn't mind it. Like, set it up.
Yeah, so they're talking some multiple film. I don't know if it's gonna be like a trilogy or.
Well, trilogy makes sense.
There should be enough stuff for like at least two movies, I think, in the Odyssey, because there's like all sorts of like cyclopses and whirlpools and.
Well, it really depends on that one part where they hang out Calypso for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's also a giant bulk of the first book. And then
yeah.
I think the part where he pretends to be an old man for like a year, that's the one I'm like, ugh.
When he gets home and just like, I gotta see.
I need to see if my wife is faithful to me.
Yeah.
And just like, I'm gonna do this. And I'm just like, oh, I always question that in the story. I'm going like, why?
Why wouldn't you just bang her after all that time?
Yeah, well, what's making me like, I gotta check if she still loves me, because I'm pretty sure, like, her not banging all these men, like, especially back then.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yeah. Alright.
So, we also learned last week that apparently we're getting a proper XXX sequel with Vin Diesel, and they're gonna start shooting it in December.
Cool. I wonder how they're gonna explain how he lived.
Very homosexually.
Are they like, yeah, it's like, is the what was that special feature called? The Death of Xander Cage? Is that canon?
Well, didn't this like whole beach house explode?
I think so. Yeah, it was like was it on the actual XXX DVD or was it on the State of the Union DVD?
The State of the Union. Well, he doesn't die in the other part. Like, he died in the sequel. That's why they had to get Ice Cube.
Yeah. Well, that special feature, like, bonus, like, video thing was, like, to explain, like, why, like, where Xander Cage is. It was called, like, the Death of Xander Cage or something.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that was, like, the whole opening of the movie.
Was it? I thought it was, like,
I don't remember.
I thought it was, like, a bonus feature on, like, one of the discs.
See, I didn't mind Ice Cube.
Like, on, like, on like Too Fast, Too Furious, they had like a special feature where it was like explaining like how Paul Walker drove to like Miami.
Mexico. Yeah, yeah, he just kind of drove around to avoid the cops.
It's like this weird prequel that's like only on like the DVD.
I kind of remember that, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think Rob Cohen's back to direct it as well.
You did the first movie?
Yeah, he did both the Triple X movies. And then I think he also did like Stealth and like so many other terrible movies.
And other prestigious works as well.
Well, the first Fast and Furious. Yeah, Stealth. Alex Cross, The Boy Next Door, Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Empire.
His record is terrible.
His 90s is alright, like he directed Daylight and Dragonheart.
That's awesome. So like he's got a good mix of like what to do and what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
He convinced Sean Connery to be a talking dragon.
I also love when Dissolve was still around, like they're doing like their like Forget Busters, and then Nathan Raven called Triple X a poochy conception of what kids want. It was a great art. It was like a great, just like he was like the poochie of James Bond.
Yeah.
Where like literally everything in the like literally in the first 5 minutes of that move of like Triple X is just like, this ain't your daddy's James Bond. We listen to Rammstein. Look at, we're gonna kill James Bond in the opening. Cause he's not cool. He doesn't drink energy drinks.
Wait. His Xander got recruited into Triple X because he did illegal extreme stunts, right?
Yeah, and then they also needed, because they sent like that like ridiculous like tuxedo guy in to like infiltrate the Rammstein concert, and like everyone's just like
spy.
Yeah, like literally like just basically wandering through like, hello, I'm not a spy. I enjoy this music. So they need someone in that world to infiltrate Triple X, like the What? Anarchy 99.
I'm pretty sure, like, Vin Diesel stood out because he was a giant American with these, like, what is, like, a stereotypical Russian.
But he was an extreme sports enthusiast, like they are. Just like how Johnny Utah will be in the new Point Break. I believe that they, like me, am extreme athletes.
But wasn't the point of Point Break the fact that he didn't know their world, and they go like, yeah, we'll induct you.
Yeah. No, the new one's just like, I believe in my sky, like, I'm going to use my skydiving and surfing abilities to infiltrate this, like, international group of anarchists. So, yeah, so keep an eye out for the Triple X3, whatever. They should call it, like, X-Cubed.
That's the crossover between Ice Cube and Vin Diesel.
Oh my god, they should team up.
It doesn't make sense why they shouldn't at this point. Because it's like, you could
be... Hey, man, slow down.
Yeah, it's like...
Slow down, man, slow down.
You're like Ride Along, except with Vin Diesel instead of Kevin Hart.
I'm going slow down.
I think, like... Wasn't Ice Cube's like more his ability was driving fast, and Vin Diesel was just like flying through the air through things. Like
Vin
wasn't
Diesel
there, like,
was like that... doing like X Game stunts,
right? But then like Ice Cube was just like, I can drive a car on a train track.
Yeah,
like that's like how I remember from that movie.
Darius Stone. And then, like, wasn't Exhibit, like, his, like, cue, basically? or was he just part of, like, their, like, crew?
I think that's part of just of Ice Cube's crew.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't, like, an official person, I think. No, he wasn't, like, a government-backed person. He was, like, someone who has things.
Yeah. So, last bit of news for this week is that the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff is apparently back on at ABC. So it's called Marvel's Most Wanted now.
Okay.
And it's starring Adrian Palicki as Mockingbird / Bobby Morris. And then, what is the other guy? His name's like Lance Hunter. The character's name is like Lance Hunter, but I can't remember the actor's name. It's like Nick something. But anyway, but apparently it's not going to be like a full-on spinoff. Like, they're not going to leave Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So it may be like a prequel show or something. Or like, it might be like Legends of Tomorrow. They're doing in CW where it's like they'll do that show for like mid-season and like they'll come back to the main show.
Which I'm fine. It really does keep the story going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good that they're thinking outside the box where it's like we're not bound to follow like the S.H.I.E.L.D. all the way, even though these characters came from it.
Yeah, so they're going to... ABC is at least ordering a pilot of the of this Marvel's Most Wanted, so we could see it. I don't know what this, probably not this, like probably next year for like next TV season, because we're getting Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then Agent Carter season 2 for this year. So yeah, so anyway, that's it for news, because I don't know, everyone's on vacation or something, like all of Hollywood's on vacation or something this week. So why don't we dive into show and tell, and Joe, what have you been watching over the last week or so?
So over the last week, really the only thing I want to talk about is the final episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Really sad to see it go, but it went out on its own sword, like a true warrior, because that was the funniest goddamn episode I've seen in a very long time. Did you guys catch it?
No.
Ah, man.
I've not seen like, really any Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've seen like an episode. Oh, I've seen episodes like here and there, but I have not like watched it regularly or anything.
Well, it's on Hulu pretty much in its entirety.
Mm-hmm.
So I highly recommend checking that out. Even the Adult Swim app, I think, has most of the season, or most of the series, rather. Definitely, and there's some on Netflix, too, but definitely worth, checking out from the beginning. I mean, it's just so fucking crazy. It really is, like, the first, it's like the OG Adult Swim.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is gonna work. Will stoners like it? So... that and, like, the Brack Show, I think, and Space Ghost Coast to Coast are, like, the OGs that started it all. Mm-hmm. But anyway, really great ending. Really, really dark, but that's part of the hilarity.
It's kind of weird. Like, I didn't see any sort of, like, posts about it or, like, any sort of, like...
It was so low-key.
Yeah.
Adult Swim was almost, like... I mean, they were trolling, but they were also, like, taking... I don't know, they're coming at it from the perspective like, fucking finally, this is over, like, it's really the end, like, this is it, the last episode, thanks for the memories, just fucking no more, like, being kind of, you know, pretending to be over it or whatever. So I thought that was, quite funny. What else did I watch? Okay, so
Since you're like wrestling guru, did you watch SummerSlam?
Of course, I watched SummerSlam.
I want to find out about the Stephen Amell,
John Stewart,
John Stewart, like yeah, and then also like Stephen Amell versus Goldust tag team extravaganza.
Well, first of all, it was Stephen Amell versus Stardust,
yes,
Goldust's brother, yeah. Half brother. Okay, let's get that right. Number one, that was pretty much terrible. I mean, Stephen Amell is cool, and I like him a lot, and, like, you know, props to him for taking bumps, and, oh, for you non-marks out there, that's basically what it means when a wrestler goes boom, when he gets a boo-boo or an ouchie. So that's what a bump is. So, he took some bumps, he got slammed, he got thrown around, he did some drop kicks and shit. A lot of it was just kind of him running around the ring being like a circus boy, But he's a huge wrestling fan lifelong, so it was probably cool for him to do that. And for any of you fucking noobs who think that he's in, like, killer shape, which, I mean, not that he's not or whatever, but, like, if you see him on Arrow and you're like, oh my god, he's jacked. Like, when you see him in the ring next to even, like, mid-card, like, middle-of-the-road wrestlers, it's just so fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. It's so
I imagine because Arrow, everything's dark and, like, dimly lit. So, like,
yeah, and he's all, like, oiled up, and, like, they paint his abs. This, it was kind of like, he just looked like a, like, oh, he plays soccer. Mm-hmm. Like, that's cool. But, yeah, that was fun, I guess. He had a high spot, which is, oh, for you non-marks, a high spot is a really big part of the match. So, like, jumping to the outside of the ring and, like, hitting somebody with a diving crossbody or a flip or something that's high risk, high reward. That's a high spot. This has been wrestling lingo. So yeah, he hit a high spot to the outside, just kind of jumping across, the two guys he was facing. And, yeah, I mean, if had he fucked it up, he probably could have got real hurt, but, I'm assuming that they kind of taught him enough to not get sued and then just went and let him do his thing. On to the John Cena Seth Rollins match, which I think was a WrestleMania quality match and was probably a match of the year candidate. I'll go fuck myself cause nobody cares. But, the interference at the end by Jon Stewart was kind of stupid, kind of hilarious, and all it did was set up Ric Flair being on Raw the next night in Brooklyn, because Jon Stewart's whole angle was that the reason he interfered and hit him with the chair was because he didn't want him to tie Ric Flair's 16-time world championship accomplishment. So props to Jon Stewart for that, because I didn't want to see John Cena do it either, I guess. But inevitably it's going to happen. So anyway, moving right along, the main event, Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker. It was pretty much everything you expected it to be, except they did a false finish. In the business, a false finish is basically something where there's not a tap out or a 1-2-3. So for any reason, the match ends outside of the normal rules. So, like, if somebody interferes and someone gets disqualified or whatever, they call it a false finish. The problem with the false finish is that it kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Because, like, if you paid $60 for this pay-per-view, which if you did, you're dumb and you should just get the WWE Network. But if you paid $60 for it and then, like, the match kind of ends without a clear winner, it was kind of upsetting. But they basically set it up to somewhat emulate the Montreal Screwjob from 97 with Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, which is like a really famous sort of wrestling event that happened before Bret Hart left for WCW. And this has been wrestling history. So pretty much SummerSlam was awesome. I think it led up to, I think it lived up to the hype, rather. 4-hour extravaganza, a sixth of the price you would pay for pay-per-view, plus you get access to the full archives of the WWE, WWF, WWF, WCW, and ECW. So that's fun, and we're not sponsored in any way by the WWE Network, but if they wanted to, we would listen. And then the other thing I watched, I more listened to this because I was doing some work for work over the weekend, and my girlfriend was watching, I think, The Proposal, or that movie with Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah,
where it's like, you're going to get rewarded. Yeah. So I listened to that. I'd seen it in the past with her, and I was exposed to it once more. And, you know, it's a happy-go-lucky heart warmer with weird undertones about immigration. So oddly appropriate for this time of, for this current political climate.
Well, I was saying, like, that movie's appropriate if, like, because she's attractive for an older lady compared to Ryan Reynolds, right? And, like, if she were what I assume, like, was a true woman executive who's, like, way too busy to keep in shape and, like, do makeup, Ryan Reynolds would be, like, out the door. Like, he would have not gone with the plan.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I had going on. That's pretty much it. I mean, other stuff here and there, mm-hmm. but, you know, let's be real.
Did you watch anything, Chris?
Yeah, I watched a lot of Hollow Man. I haven't seen it in a while. I was like, it was on my mind, and I watched it, and then I guess I fell asleep, and I woke up to it again, and I was just like, okay. And then watched it one more time at, like, 10 at night. So Hollow Man, yeah. It of the Invisible Man stories in the, like...
In the esteemed Invisible Man genre?
There is not many. It's just, like, I can only name two of my favorite. It's, like, the one that's Chevy Chase, where he's, like, the Invisible Man that doesn't go crazy, but just, like, he's just trying to fuck with Sam Neill.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Hollow Man, where it's, like, well, no,
like,
no.
There's the OG, like, Universal Monsters Invisible Man, based on, like, the H.G. Wells...
Right, which, I mean, he didn't go mad, I don't believe. Only the formula made him go mad. He was just, like, some greedy guy who got greedier by being invisible. But here, like, they kind of explain that being invisible, like, because of, like, the radiation treatment that the serum makes you go through, like, that's what makes you go crazy.
I thought it was also just, like, he just, like, realized, like, he could, like, do whatever the hell he wanted, basically.
And that, too, it's just, like, but, like, it's an accelerant.
I can do anything!
Yeah, but it's the thing where it's just like, oh, he was kind of crazy to begin with, but now, like, it went worse, because now it's like, he thinks he's, like, unstoppable. But they don't even explain how, like, freakishly strong he is based on being invisible, and, like, how he's able to just, like, move around. Like, it makes you invisible, but you still need to, like, open doors and stuff. You know, they're just like, nah, whatever. There's also that really famous but disturbing scene where he, like, attacks his neighbor, like the chick, but like I never could figure out if he killed her or just raped her and left. It's super dark to think, but I'm just like always wondering from that one scene, because they never like answer it, you know. That's just like, whoa, like the hell, Kevin Bacon, like that's really messed up of you. But yeah, I mean, Hollow Man, it was apparently like in 2000, it was like one of the highest grossing movies and almost won an award, but it got beat by Gladiator.
Well, it was a Paul Verhoeven joint, so.
Yeah, so I mean, and it didn't have so much of a commentary compared to like RoboCop. You know, like his movies always have a political comment.
Yeah.
Here it's just kind of, hey, weird science goes wrong again, but like, but now Kevin Bacon is like super Kevin Bacon and super naked.
And Josh Brolin's there for some reason.
Josh Brolin is so underused in this movie. That's just like the disappointing fact. It's like Elizabeth.
Well, he wasn't really like Josh Brolin yet.
No,
it was a weird middle ground between like Goonies and then like No Country for Old Men, where everyone's just like, "Hey, where's Josh Brolin?" Or yeah, do you remember Josh Brolin?
Yeah, he was in things. This is the movie that kind of like he wasn't gruff yet, but he still is kind of like a nerdy guy in this movie. It's so weird to watch him.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Oh, and I finally finished True Detective season 2.
Yes.
And holy shit, that's not a good thing to watch while hungover. That is something that
especially,
you want to watch.
Especially that last episode where it's just like just insane hallucinations and like nothing makes sense.
I didn't mind that. I thought it would be worse from what you're telling me, but like it kind of made sense. It's random.
Yeah, it goes clear out of nowhere. It's just like, where is this? What is happening right now?
But like, yeah, then I was like, maybe they'll explain it in another episode. Like, no, this is the last episode. I was like, holy shit, like this is weird. Why would they do this? Why would they switch focus now like this? Oh, not to spoil my show, but can you imagine like watching Breaking Bad?
He's gone, Chris. He wants to, because Joe wanted to avoid spoilers, so he left. So now we can talk about full True Detective. Yeah, spoilers for True Detective season 2. Yeah, why? So yeah. Vince Vaughn, like, just like seeing like just like the most random
childhood memories.
Like, his father, who we've never seen, he just described him once in that weird, super weird.
That is
opening
not
sequence.
Who I thought it would be. Yeah, I was just like, what is this skinny man doing? Like, I imagine his dad being like the kingpin or something.
Yeah.
But it just turns out to be like some like yokel.
It's like old redneck man just like, get in that closet, boy. And then, yeah, then the most stereotypical like 80s street gang.
Yeah, and then I'm like thinking back like,
yo, Whitey, what are you doing on the streets, Whitey?
I mean, I like the symbolism of it, where he's just, like, living through his sins or whatever, and then he's just bleeding out in the desert, but I was just like,
I think there might have been one more, like, one more, like, life event that he saw.
His wife.
Yeah, I thought there was one in the middle, like some other, like a random dude or something.
Oh, it was a person begging for his life.
Yeah.
About like how he couldn't change, but it's like, nope, you got yourself in the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that was back when he was doing like middleman work. So it's, again, really interesting. A lot of depth to the character. Still don't know why, like,
anything happened.
It was so, anything happened. Because up to this point, like, he just could have walked away. You know? I love his plan. I love the assault, his, you know,
tying loose ends, getting her.
Yeah. He tied everything up beautifully. Like, I really thought it was going to go wrong at some point. I thought that was going to how it's end or something. Or he's going to get betrayed by someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, nope, it ends pretty like this. But.
And then the Colin Farrell just, like, trail of tears. We're just like.
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, first of all, like, that weird, like, seeing his son for the last time, like the most awkward salute in movie, like, television history, which, come up, like,
yep.
they've never done that before in their entire lives. It's just like, this feels right, I'm just gonna do this. Salute.
Did they ever do it?
Nope.
I thought they had
him. That was not, like, it wasn't a thing they did, it was just like, Colin Farrell was like, this feels right, I'm gonna do this. And his son's
also,
just like, oh, okay, Dad. Yeah, salute. And then, like, where he's like, then he just drives off, and then like he does, like, so he gets murdered, and then like cut to his phone being like unable to send message, and then like cut to like his wife being like, he was the father. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, everything's going wrong. Like, this is not how you wrap up a story. Like, if there was a season 3 based on this, I wouldn't mind, but I don't think they're getting a season 3 based on this arc.
Nope. I mean, it's an anthology show. It's going to be totally different next year. Whenever they do a season 3, if they, cuz I think ratings were up for this even though like everyone hated it. So at least
going from the shootout scene, like the main shootout, mm-hmm. to this point was good. Then the last episode happens, and then you're like, this is, they're destroying, like, all the setup.
Well, it was kind of, like, so, this entire season was weird, because, like, it was, they built up to the fourth episode, with the shootout, and then they just reset the entire season. So it's like, back to square one, like, you guys had, like, because, like, they were off the case for 6 months, and, like, you guys could get back on the case.
Yeah. Which, at this point, I was like,
I really hope
you get this in writing.
Yeah, so it was like, what is the point of the first 3 episodes if they're just going to like restart everything in the fourth and the fifth episode?
I felt like they blamed the cops pretty fast. Like, at the end, where it's just like, oh yeah, like Colin Farrell's character was super evil, apparently. Well, because they made it look like that, but I mean, it's just gonna look like really bad for like the whole city. Like, that seems like a terrible city to live in.
And it was also like, it was insane too, because like in the first, like what, 15 minutes of the last episode, they solved, like, they got rid of like the killer I've been searching for the entire season.
Yeah, the not yellow king.
Yeah, who was like,
that's the thing,
a random dude we saw for like 5 minutes during like episode 3 or something, or episode 2.
Yeah, very quickly. And it's like, aha, this dude. Which I'm like, you know what? That's a formula they had. Show the killer. Mm-hmm. Making him sort of obvious, but sort of not. But even then, it was like, I totally forgot about Casper.
Yep.
You know, even the whole thing was about him. I'm like, oh yeah, like, that was a guy. But it seemed like no bare importance anymore.
Yeah. Well, it was just like an insane coincidence that he just, like, everything that happened with, like, the land deal and everything was just like a kind of crazy coincidence.
Yeah. Which I'm just like, this is just terrible luck.
Yeah.
And then Vince Vaughn does not know how to invest properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was just they were trying to do way too much, like, with just everything. Like, it was just like super overstuffed of like, because the first season was like we're following like two characters and like a pretty straightforward like serial killer plot. It was like a little bit complicated because of the time jump stuff, but I mean,
it made it interesting.
Yeah, and this was just like four characters plus all their like crazy drama BS with their personal lives, plus this insanely convoluted like land deal, sex dungeon,
thing. And then secret society of Russian whores and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just just that part was so okay. I'm like, okay, maybe that'll be the focus. Maybe this community killed him. Nope. You know, like I thought it was something bigger than that. Nope. And I was like, okay, I don't know where this is going.
There's way too many like players in like the weird like land deal sex dungeon to like they would just like mention that person and you wouldn't even like but then you would see that like maybe like once. So, but they kept. So you had like a vague idea of who they were, and then like you wouldn't see them again for like four episodes. And they keep mentioning that person's name. You're like, wait, who the hell is that? Like,
yeah,
like Burris and Harris and like Vincenzo is like, what the? Who are these
especially
people?
Especially with the henchman that dies.
Oh my god, Stan!
And he's like this catalyst.
Who they like? Why is there, like, yeah, it was just, like, there's, like, two or three episodes in a row where it's, like, focused on Stan. It's just, like, they go to visit Stan's family, and they're, like, we gotta find who killed Stan. Like, what happened to Stan? It's, like, who is Stan? He was, like, that like, third henchman in the background for, like, the first episode or two.
And then, like, the girl that the Mexicans killed?
Yeah.
Who is she again?
She, like, had the diamonds or something, or, like... stole the diamonds from the like other like the gang members that like they like sets it up as for the shootout or something. It was just like
right, but she didn't even have the diamonds.
Well, it was like yeah, like we can't like I don't Trigger and Unravel is like insane, but like there was a diamond heist in like 1992 that
yeah, which they don't even show. They just talk about it and they have pictures.
And then all of like the chiefs of the various like police units were all
yeah, we're in on it.
And that's how they got their jobs in like the like Vinci Police Department is like oh and like is like the mayor and stuff is just like because they basically just bought their way into like the government.
Well, was the mayor was never in on
no,
his, it?
His son
right?
was. Son. Yeah.
So like I couldn't figure out if the mayor killed himself or not, or that was just
I think his son maybe killed him or something.
Maybe.
She was getting close, or, like, got to have them loose ends.
But then, the mayor would have made any sense.
Then the son becomes the new mayor.
Just, yeah, I thought the son was, like, a little bit younger, but I'm like, that guy was, like, 20.
Yeah.
Maybe he was older, I don't know. It just seems like this weird, like, he didn't have a political party, now I'm just the mayor. I mean, I get it. That Tsukasa Society is probably huge, but it suffered a bunch of losses,
and then
too.
They just win. They just win.
The bad guys won the season.
Yeah. And then Rachel McAdams and Vince Vaughn's wife are just gonna, like, they're, like just best friends now in like Venezuela or whatever the hell they are.
I couldn't tell if they're a lesbian couple raising a baby.
With just like a weird like henchman baby nanny.
Yeah.
Nails.
Which I'm like, I hope Nails never had a family, because I'm like, this is a bullshit assignment for him.
Yeah.
And I don't know where they're going. They just never, like, that's the thing. It's just like, they leave it open-ended. Oh,
I also love the fact that, like, didn't they make the point, I think, was it Vince Vaughn? So, I think, wasn't Colin Farrell, like, they were basically, like, saying he was, like, impotent the entire season?
Was he?
Because that was, like, the whole point of, like, your son can't be your son, because you're, like, impotent.
I
was like,
I thought that was a mental
thing. This
whole
wife's like thing of like he can't be your son. And then apparently like like one hotel night and it's like baby.
Yep, you know, again, it's like oh we didn't want it and we got it. Ha 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 ha. Funny how life works.
He's just like here reporter, you figure it out.
Yeah. They leave all this evidence to the zoo to bring it back to America. You think that guy's safe?
Yeah.
So, I don't know how this is not a really great ending.
No.
That's what I'm kind of disappointed. This has got the highest ratings of the two now.
Well, I mean,
season 3
I mean,
better
I mean,
make
higher,
up for
I mean, higher ratings, but, like, critically, like, if you go to, like, any sort of, like, recap site or anything, like, it was just, like, hate watching. Like, everyone was, like... The only reason people were watching it, basically, was, like, rip it apart the next day.
I just was interested about the whole conspiracy of who killed Casper, but then once you know,
it was getting, like, from, like, the shootout to, like, between the shootout and, like, the final episode, like, it was getting, like, interesting. Yeah. Because the whole part where Richard McAdams like infiltrates like the sex club or the sex mansion.
Yeah, it was their version of like the one take run through the neighborhood.
Yeah. So that was, and then they found, then they were like figuring out like the contracts, and then like they were kind of figuring everything out, and then it just like unraveled the last episode.
Well, then there's that huge subplot for Taylor Kitsch's character.
Out of nowhere because he got murdered.
Well, yeah, no, it was like, oh, I think I'm gay or whatever, and just like, yeah. Oh, okay, that's cool.
And then his former unit was like, now they're like security for like the sex dungeon, sex mansion.
Were all of them or just like some of them?
It seemed like all of them because like they're like, because it was like
why was his training so much better? Like that's what I was confused about. Like I guess they're all really well trained, but his training was like the best. I mean, was the cop part of that unit, or he was just
maybe, I don't know.
A black cop?
Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows? They just stop, and then.
I think Kelly Tarkish is like one of the best worst lines of the season. Where it's just like it was right after they got out of like the sex mansion, and he's just like, these contracts, they got signatures all over them. It's just like everyone's just like, yes, that's what contracts are. And then he brought it up the next episode. He's like, look, these contracts, they have signatures on them. It's like,
yep,
thanks,
you're so
thanks,
dead.
Thanks, Taylor. Thanks. Go, go see your mom.
Thanks for acting. No, like I said, season two is like this weird, blotch in the show, but it's still interesting to watch. Like it's still a decent drama.
Yeah, everything but the last episode I thought was, I mean, it wasn't the best. It wasn't nearly as good as season one, but it was still like okay. I mean, it was still like interesting, and I wasn't like I didn't feel like I was wasting my time watching it until the last episode. Yeah, hopefully they like simplify things for season three if they do a season three and just like back to like partners or something.
Back to an actual mystery.
Yeah.
A mystery you care about.
And, like, a more interesting setting, too, because, like, I think that's where the season two is, like, we've seen Los Angeles so many times.
Oh, I fucking hate Vinci.
It was just, like, it was just the most boring, like, under a freeway, like, abandoned factory, like.
At least country settings are interesting, because it's, like, vast and it's like
that's what made season one so good too, was like the weird like bayou, like there's like it felt like Cajun like weird like voodoo going on, like it could have been like people were like, oh my god, is there like voodoo magic going on, is like that's what these murders are about, or like
yeah, that's what I kind of thought this was going to be about, where it's like, was this thing called the Book of the Dead?
Yeah, well,
or Book of Secrets,
in all of like the descriptions leading up to the season, they were like, oh, it's like it's about the occult history of like the American transportation system or something. It's just like, where was the occult stuff?
There's
like,
yeah, no occult where stuff. Was all that? Was that because like the body it was like tortured? I don't know anymore.
I think I was reading like people were thinking like maybe there was more of that, and then they cut it out, or they redid a bunch of stuff. Like there was like more occult stuff, and like because like in the first episode there's like a ton, like when they go to like Casper's house and there's like all the weird like books and like weird all weird sex stuff, like it's, and then there's like that secret society, like I think there was like probably more weird occult stuff, and it got gobbledygooked into like the,
but that would have been interesting.
Yeah,
that would have been, yeah, more interesting than the land deals. I get, you know, like they also forget about the whole like poisoning the water, they just kind of stop talking about that.
Yeah,
like isn't no one gonna notice that, like Vinci is bleeding like toxins to everywhere, and they're just like, nah, EPA knows, they just don't care.
It makes the land cheaper.
Yeah, but it poisons everyone. Like, it would eventually poison, like, the people who own the land.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to figure that out, and they just never... Oh, no, that's very unimportant compared to, like, watch Vince Vaughn, like, buy diamonds.
I thought that was the whole point of the poisoning the land, though, is that they were going to buy it cheap, and then it was... When the rail system went through, it was going to be... it would make it super expensive so they would be able to sell it.
Right, because you only go with, like, one owner. to buy like a massive amount of land. Yeah. But they never mention like who owns that part anymore. They're just like, oh yeah.
Wasn't the weird like company?
Yeah, the company that like Vince Vaughn like killed. But they opened the one station like at the end where they just have like the station rail. I don't know where it goes.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't expand all the way, but I guess you can go to, like, the main part where it starts, and it doesn't go anywhere that far. Because that was the part where the guy did the night, where Colin Farrell was a cowboy for, like, one scene.
Yeah.
Oh, True Detective.
Mm-hmm.
They were not True Detectives this season.
They didn't detect so much, they kind of lost, they were like off the grid to like Rogue for like the last five episodes. Because they all got suspended or like weren't cops anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What was up with the weird like bar singer that was in every episode and it had no purpose?
Well, she was supposed to represent like Ray's like weird honor because she saved him. But I thought she was gonna stab Rachel McAdams.
Oh no, not the
oh
not,
the singer,
not the waitress
singer
with the scars on her face. No, like the singer who just like would just
sings to no one.
Yeah, sings to no one and like sings like thematically depressing appropriate songs.
But like super, yeah. I don't know. I think she was just there. That was her job, was to be depressing as fuck. If I went to a bar like that, I'd be like really sad.
Oh, and what happened? Like. Do you remember when episode 2 opened with, like, Conway Twitty?
Did it?
Because, like, was it episode 2 or episode 3? It was the episode after Colin Farrell gets blasted with a shotgun. He's having, like, the crazy hallucination of, like, he and his dad in the bar, and there's, like, a Conway Twitty impersonator, like, singing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I wanted that's what True Detective, way more than that in True Detective, like, less, like, inscrutable land deals.
If you're gonna do mind trips, stick with that theme.
Yeah.
Like, but they stop that. Yeah, you're totally right. That's how like hallucinations start again, and they just stop and go
until Vince Vaughn starts seeing like 80s breakdancing groups like the final episode.
Yeah, that was the part I was like, holy shit, Zach's right. And then it just stops. I was like, okay, like that was. And they kept around longer, have been funny eventually.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's. Like, it's just super. It's like a different director designed this one.
It was like three different directors this season, so they didn't have like the full. Because that's also what made the first season really good. It's like Cary Fukunaga directing every single episode.
Yeah, you could tell like they're trying to mimic each other, but it's just like they didn't quite get it.
Mm-hmm. I think Justin Lin directed like the first three episodes or two episodes, and then they got someone else for like two and three, four, and then like someone else for the last three. Is like yeah, so it was like a really random like. No coherent, like, vision. Anyway. Did you see anything else, Chris?
Nah, that was exhausting to, like, watch.
How many episodes did you have to watch to catch up? Like, five?
Like, three.
It's not too bad, then.
It's not too bad. It's just, like...
The last 90 goddamn minutes.
Yeah. Especially when I, like, want to go to sleep. You're just like, well, gotta watch Vince Vaughn walk this desert.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'll keep it on TV for what I've been watching first here. So I saw the premiere of Fear the Walking Dead, the most watched cable premiere in television history.
Really? I thought it beat The Walking Dead then.
Yep, 10.1 million viewers. And it was all right. It's super. They're doing like super slow burn on like this on the zombie outbreak and stuff.
It's like it's actually like picks up a year before.
Well, it's I don't when it, where's Walking like is Walking Dead like I think Walking Dead's like a couple of years after it started. Like it's like 4 or 5 years after now or something, or like a couple like.
Oh, like where it's started now, or
from like
when
from when like when Rick went to a coma to like where it's like where this last season ended. I think it's been like at least a couple of years.
Wait, so when Rick goes into a coma, Fear of the Walking Dead's between the coma,
it's just, like, the zombie outbreak is just starting, like, there's only, like, people think it's a flu right now. Oh, it's not.
So yeah, I think Rick's been in the coma. He goes in a coma for 3 or 4 years.
It's, I don't think it's years. Rick's not in a coma. It's like Rick's in a coma for like a, 6 months, maybe, or like a half a year or something.
Something like that. Yeah. So I guess like this is like 3 months in then, because it's like the last month he gets abandoned.
Yeah. It's there's only like you only see like 3 zombies in this first episode of Fear the Walking Dead.
And, do they and people, like, are destructive as fuck?
People think it's a flu, so like
they're like hugging them.
Well, so the first it's basically follows you have Kim Dickens, who in the aforementioned Hollow Man, and also she's been in like Sons of Anarchy and Deadwood and Gone Girl. So she's like the principal or like a teacher at this high school, and then like her her boyfriend's played like Cliff Curtis, and he's like the English teacher at the school. And then she has 2 kids and he has a kid, and they're both like divorced or something. So it's like it's this crazy like extended like weird family.
They all live together too?
Like he lives with, so Cliff Curtis and Kim Dickens live together with like Kim Dickens' daughter. But then Kim Dickens' son is like this crazy heroin addict who's been like missing, and then they finally find him in like every, because the episode opens with like him in like this abandoned church where like all the heroin addicts go to get high, and then he wakes up and like finds that like his girlfriend is downstairs and she turned into a zombie, so he kind of like he freaks out, runs out in the street, gets hit by a car, so he ends up in the hospital, and then that's where the family finds him. And so they think like he's like just had like this like bad like heroin reaction or something, like, and just hallucinated everything. But then they like start hearing, like at the school, like there's like more and more kids are missing, and like there's like this viral video shows up with like this like guy getting like on like the freeway getting like shot by cops and not going down. So people start figuring out like things, something weird is going on. And then it ends with an extended like zombie sequence, but it's only one like single zombie so far. It's not
like shuffling down a hallway.
Yeah. So it seems like it could go into a kind of crazy like the movie Contagion, where it's just like it just breaks down and like everyone's just like the people start like turning on each other, and then like as zombies, more and more zombies start showing up.
Or it could be like Under the Dome, where basically like they seal themselves off and they argue. Hopefully not Under the Dome.
I think it's cool because it's Los Angeles, so it's like very heavily populated, so it's gonna like go to hell pretty quick. Hopefully quicker than The Strain, because The Strain is like a season and a half in, people are like, New York still is kind of like, are there vampires here?
Well, the vampires aren't like in a rush to do anything. They're just kind of around. So,
well, there's like New York City is on fire. Like, there's buildings on fire. Like, skyscrapers on fire. And like, you go to like Washington D.C. and you're like, there's some weird stuff going on in New York City. We should probably get on that. I don't know. So, have you guys heard anything about what's going on in New York City? Yeah, so
is it definitely worth to keep watching?
I mean, yeah, it's worth checking out. Like, it's got this, like the zombie stuff is on par with like The Walking Dead as far as like it's nowhere near as like crazy disgusting yet, because the zombies are like still super fresh. So you're not gonna get like any sort of like weird like stuff like The Walking Dead's on, like that zombie that got trapped in the well. Remember that one, Chris? Did you see that? There's like a zombie in a well that they're like contaminating, like,
yeah, they're trying to pull it out
and ripped in half, and like, yeah, so nothing that crazy yet, but like it's a good appetizer to like proper Walking Dead season 5 or 6, because I think this is Fear of Walking Dead 6 episodes, and it's gonna lead right into the premiere of Walking Dead. So
it's a nice time killer then.
Yeah,
get your fix.
And then also sort of TV related, I watched the first episode of Vixen, which is on CW Seed. And it's the animated entry to the Arrow Flashverse.
Any good?
It was okay. I guess they're doing like, it's every Tuesday is like a new episode, and they're like 5 minutes long each.
Well, only 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's I don't know. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, I don't know if they're like trying. They're just gonna like do enough to like make it like a full animated movie and like release on DVD or something. But it's in that DC, like the current like DC animated movie style. Like, have you seen any like the Justice League movies? Like, it's that sort of style, animated style.
Right.
And it's got Grant Gustin and Stephen Amell in it as Arrow and Flash. Actually, it has a pretty awesome opening where, like, Arrow and Flash are, like, chasing down Vixen, and she's using, like, her animal powers to, like, basically completely outrun them. And they're both, like, they don't say anything, but they basically just look at each other like, what the hell is going on?
Wait, how is she faster than the Flash?
Because she can, like, harness, like, she's, like, harnessing, like, Cheeto's speed, and she, like, she basically harnesses any sort of animal attribute and use it, so she, like, channel like a bear's strength, like be as strong as a bear, and then like at one point she like uses like chameleon like camouflage to like hide. So basically she's basically just using like the fastest animal in the world speed to like get away from them.
And then she doesn't use speed force.
Combined with like agility, like animal agility and stuff. So she can jump between buildings, like jump between roofs and like jump all over the place. So But then the sort of thing where like there's this big chase and she's like falling off the roof, like, and then seems like she's like go to fall to her death, and then like flashes back like 3 days earlier. So it seems like it's gonna like build to like back to that point for like the next couple episodes. So if you can remember to go check CW Seed every Tuesday, it's probably worth checking out. But yeah, it's a weird, like, no one's gonna like, no one knows, but it exists. So it's just, hopefully they'll like collect it as like a DVD movie or something at some point. And then as far as movies go, I watched Shanghai Noon again on Netflix. I think they just added that back a while ago. So I came across a weird, like, I guess it's like everyone experiencing this when they watched Shanghai Noon on Netflix, but apparently they didn't get the rights to the subtitles.
What?
I found like a Reddit thread where people were like, I was watching Shanghai Noon, there's like no subtitles. Like, isn't there supposed to be subtitles? And then someone was like, I talked to Netflix and they said it's because they didn't get the rights to the subtitles, they just got the rights to the movie. So you know how the entire opening is in Chinese? Like,
like a good 10 minutes.
No subtitles. There's not even an option to turn them on. It's just like they're off. It's the only option to have.
What?
If you've never seen Shanghai Noon before, like, you will have, like, I guess you can kind of get the gist of what's going on, but like,
you can kind of figure out like phonetically.
Yeah. Or if you've seen, like, because it's a very like basic plot of like evil guy kidnaps princess.
Well, not in the beginning. It's not, like, obvious yet.
Yeah. And then, and also, like, the entire time when, like, Jackie Chan's, like, with, like, the, like, Native Americans, like, all that part's not
subtitled either. Yeah, so that's all subtitles, because if you know Chinese, like, yeah, the Chinese people get it, but no one knows Native American enough, so it's, like, no one.
And, like, also that, like, you can kind of get that part in context, too, where, like, it's like, oh, you just got married to, like, this mysterious Indian woman. But yeah, that was just the weirdest, like, because like this has to be subtitles, right? Like I remember there's subtitles for this part because it's all in Chinese. Like, there's no way this is not subtitled.
Well, the good news for me is I actually own the DVD copy of this, yeah. So I don't need to deal with that bullshit. But holy crap, I can't imagine like
it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen on Netflix. Like. But anyway, as far as the movie, like, that's still a super fun movie.
Yeah, very enjoyable. Very, like, it's very coherent. I didn't imagine them having a series of them.
Yeah, Shanghai Knights probably didn't. And then I think they were talking about a third one recently, I thought. Like, Shanghai something, but
let's see what happens.
Yeah. It's kind of like, it's weird, like, because, like, there's not really that much, like, urgency to like get the princess back. Like, there's so much just like random hijinks that they get into before they even like start trying to get the princess back.
I'm gonna say, I guess like it took them a month from the train to like where they are
to like Jackie Chan's adventures with the natives to like the random like going the wrong way and ending up in like that weird town and like getting the bar fight and then like
yeah he climbed a mountain
yeah
like with nothing he just climbed a mountain
and then like random training montage and then like.
Yeah, cowboy training, yep. And then jail time. Like, yeah, a lot of things happen.
Going to, like, a brothel, like...
Getting kicked out of a brothel.
Yeah.
Then, like, getting arrested. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so much stuff that happens that has nothing to do with, like, rescuing the princess. it's also insane, like Jackie Chan's, like, wife that he gets. She just disappears for, like, super long stretches of time, just shows up. Is like a Deus Ex Machina and rescues them and then like vanishes again.
Yeah, and then she just leaves him for Roy.
Mm-hmm. Like she just keeps showing up and like there's no explanation of like why she's like because she's like this like super expert marksman and there's like no explanation of why she did like how she's able to be like how she learned how to shoot or anything. She just like shows up, shoots like a noose out of like to rescue Jackie Chan and then leaves. Or like rips the door of the jail off with like a bunch of like steers. But yeah, it's a solid Jackie Chan sort of like. It's not the greatest Jackie Chan movie, but it's like. Did this come out after or before Rush Hour? Because I.
This came out after Rush Hour 1.
Yeah, because it's...
Before Rush Hour 2.
Yeah, because it definitely feels like it, like, sort of, like, we need to make another Rush Hour right now.
Actually, I could be wrong. Maybe it came out right after Rush Hour 2. It was, like, the same year, I think. It's just, like, back-to-back,
yeah.
Like, Jackie Chan in your face.
It just feels like an executive was like, what if we made Rush Hour but in the Wild West?
Yeah, what if we had, like, this funny black guy, a funny white guy? I don't mind. I really didn't mind Owen Wilson as Roy Banner.
Oh, he was fun.
It was kind of,
yeah.
He was fun.
I liked his like thing of like he can't shoot.
Yeah. Well, what about what's his face? His like partner who was like a young Raylan.
Oh,
not a young Raylan.
Yeah, super super crazy young Walton Goggins.
Yeah.
Like unknown Walton Goggins.
I totally forget that was him
yeah.
until like years later.
And,
like, that's the same.
And
guy.
Then Xander Berkeley was the evil sheriff or evil like marshal.
Yep. Who played it role perfectly. I like that. It made sense to me. His look, his feel. Like we said, Shy Guy Noon is not, like, a terrible movie, but it's just this, like, comedy blur that tries
yeah.
to be, like, a lot of things. Like, cowboy, like, the soundtrack is done by Chris Rock.
Yeah. With, like, a bunch of, like, random, just, like ZZ Top and, like, AC/DC and, like, Aerosmith and stuff for, like, no reason.
Right. They send Chinese Empire people to America,
mm-hmm.
and it's like they don't give them a translator.
Oh, also the main like Asian bad guy of Shy Guy Noon was also Fiendish Dr. Wu.
Yep, that was cool. I don't know how this dude became like the head super important bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's still America in like the 18th century. Like,
yeah.
They wouldn't allow this.
I know it's weird watching this movie because like I'm watching Hell on Wheels like the final season right now, and it's basically the same exact plot, or like a similar plot because it's like they're dealing with like the it's like they're in like California and it's like all the like, you know like the Chinese workers on the railroad and stuff and there's like an evil like Chinese like businessman who's like trying to like take down the railroad or, like fight the railroad.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I would say if you rent Shy Guy Noon, if you want to get Shy Guy Noon from Netflix, rent it if you have the DVD service, so you can actually get subtitles or
yeah,
watch it somewhere like
the
it
full
somewhere else.
Experience.
Yeah. Unless you've seen it before, and you know what the plot is because you might be like you be like might be confused about what's going on in the beginning. And then the last thing I saw is I saw Hero and the Terror. Which is a deep cut Chuck Norris movie from Netflix.
Whoa.
From,
I mean, deep cut.
Like no one talks about it. No one really knows what it is, or like it doesn't get brought up as like when you talk about Chuck Norris movies. But it's a Canon Golden Globus joint from 88. And Chuck Norris is a like LAPD detective in it, and it's basically like him versus this like crazy serial killer who he chases him down like in like this like prequel opening, but then almost gets killed by this guy, but then this guy, like the serial killer, slips up and like kind of like falls off a ladder and like knocks himself out. So everyone's just like, "Oh man, Chuck Norris, you stopped him, you got him." So, but then Chuck Norris really didn't like he didn't really stop him as much as like barely escaped him. So he kind of has like nightmares about this for like 3 years later. But then three years later, this guy escapes from like the mental institution, like is back like killing women. So Chuck Norris has like go back on the and find him again.
I'm a little confused though. It's like, he still captured him. He just didn't do it like personally, right? And he has nightmares about him.
He has nightmares, and he's kind of like, don't call like, because like he gets the nickname Hero from the, like everyone calls him Hero now. He's like, don't call me a hero. I didn't do anything.
Did he do his job?
Kind of.
Yeah, so
it was like... just so traumatic because like he found he had to go into like this like guy's like basically like this like meat cabin where all his like bodies are like stored like or like his lair, and then like. Basically almost gets murdered, like he's like being drowned by this guy and like barely escapes like this ladder, it's like under like this boardwalk, and then like barely escapes this ladder and the guy like falls off the ladder and like into the water and like knocks himself out, and he's like and this killer is like this like giant like crazy like silent dude who just like strangles, like he just comes to the, his killing method is like sneaking up behind women and stabbing their necks in like 5 seconds. And then he drags them like to his lair, like I don't know what he does with them, and like leaves them out. And then like sometimes leaves them out in like the middle of the street.
How did he escape though? Like through an open window? Like
oh, it's this crazy like he has this crazy like they don't set him up as like he never talks and he doesn't seem like this like very intelligent person. But then like he has this like crazy plan of like he steals like this like these supply like it's like I think it's like. It looks like magnesium or something from like this like art from like the art studio. He goes and does like pottery or something. So after every like pottery class, like he steals like a little bit of, like of this like black dust or like black mineral, and then he puts it on like dental floss and like uses the dental floss covered like mineral like covered minerals like cut his way out of like the window bars.
And that's actually pretty creative.
That's how he escapes.
I was thinking like karate, like it's gonna like chop the wall, like you know it's a Chuck Norris film. It's not supposed to be like meticulous about the science.
And then,
but holy shit!
Then he like steals like a laundry truck and like drives off a cliff. So everyone thinks he's dead because the truck blew up. But he actually like escapes and like is now like back on the attack. And then basically the rest of the movie is like Chuck Norris like just trying to like find him. So it's not the most action-packed Chuck Norris movie, but it's like a pretty good like thriller,
right?
Sort of.
I'm just saying like he's also the least qualified too. Like he's semi decent to find him, but I mean he didn't. If he's not the guy who captured him, like
well,
he should probably tell.
Well, he was able to find like his lair and stuff before, so he's like the one who like kind of knows the most about this guy. And then he's able to like suss out his lair again. it's kind of similar to. Silent Rage, which is another like Chuck Norris versus serial killer movie. Except in that one, like the serial killer was like this like Frankenstein monster who got brought back to life by Ron Silver. And Silent Rage had a slightly better like final battle too, because it was like full on like Chuck Norris and like Chuck Norris action genes doing roundhouse kicks to this guy. And the Hero versus Terror fight is it's okay, but it's not the best Chuck Norris showcase. There's not a lot of like roundhouse kicks or anything that you want from Chuck, but it's okay. It's on Netflix. If you want a deep cut Chuck Norris movie to check out, and you because I'm sure a lot of people haven't seen Hero of the Terror.
I thought I saw a lot of his movies, but turns out there's a lot of movies I did not see at all.
Yeah, that like Canon era when he was like when it was like I think they're going to talk about, like, that documentary that's coming up about canon. But they were like, it was either, they're making movies and they're like, basically, like, which Chuck is going to start? Is Chuck Norris or Charles Bronson? they're making movies for either of those guys. And just whichever one's available would, like, be starring it. So, yeah, so that's what I was watching for this last week or so. So I think we can wrap this thing up. Unless there's anything else you need to talk about, Chris, or we should talk about your...
You watch a lot of Rick and Morty?
I've seen all the episodes this season. It's fucking amazing.
Fucking amazing, yeah.
The episode where it's just like the clip, like the evil like mind controlling aliens with just all the characters, like that's one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Half those characters that come out of them, I really wish they do make it, like Barbecue Samurai,
Hammerai. Like, it was like Hammerai, and it was like Reverse Giraffe, and like Photography Raptor, and like Frankenstein. Mr. Beauregard was like their like butler.
Butler, yeah, that was funny. And I give it credit, like not a lot of shows can just have these like crazy characters and it makes sense like perfectly. Mm-hmm. Because if they go ahead and introduce other characters like this in the future, totally fine, you know? This episode alone was like getting rid of like other stock failed characters.
Mm-hmm.
Of that, like it reminded me of the episode where like Rick throws a house party.
Yes.
And like Abraham Hitler comes up.
Yeah.
Like, fucking brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love that episode.
And the twist with Mr. Poopy Pants. Mr. Poopy Butthole.
Yeah. That was cool.
Keep it out for any sort of strange characters. Like, we'll do, Rick! Thanks, Mr. Poopy Butthole.
One thing I was
kind of hoping I might have to watch again to see if maybe he's in the background, but like Mr. Sprinkles, who was like, it's sort of like one of the proto like Rick and Morty cartoons that Justin Roiland made. It's for Acceptable.tv.
Oh, the one where it's like a blue guy.
No, it was a super super dark twisted like take on like Cat in the Hat.
Yeah, he's like a blue cat.
No, he's like a super tall like weird looking like white. He's like. Kind of like a weird, like...
Mr. Meese.
Mr. Meese, but not a giant head. Like, he looks like a cigarette, basically. He looks like a walking cigarette.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
I've seen it. It's really dark, man. He's supposed to be in Rick and Morty, too.
I was wondering if, like, maybe he's in, like, the background or something, like crazy, like, barbecue shot, or, like, when they cut back from the barbecue and everyone's there. I want to put it past him, like put like him in the background or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of like hidden stuff.
Or like
stuff
a Cosby
too.
Or something, because Justin Roiland also did cuts of Cosby's.
Huh.
And then also, I think they also did like the super proto like Rick and Morty was like they made like Doc and Marty.
Yep. I saw the like history about that. Mm-hmm. That was cool. But it's like how they could not get away with like doing that. That was too obvious.
Yeah. I also love did you watch Acceptable.tv? Did you see any other sketches from that? Like when they did like the cat like it was like kitty for like kitten calendar, Operation Kitten Calendar. And Justin Roiland was like he was like the Donald Trump basically at that. Who's like he constantly just yell at people that you're stumped.
Huh.
And, like, Dan Harmon was, like, one of the, like, contestants on that, and, like, a bunch of other people from, like, Acceptable.tv and, like UCB were in it as, like, contestants. And it'd be almost, like, random, like, you know, just, like, they have to do, like, it was, like, December, but you can't use Christmas or New Year's. It's, like, Christmas or New Year's. Yeah, come up with a calendar, but no Christmas. And I think Dan Harmon makes, like, Pearl Harbor or something. With a kitten in front of it, it's like Justin Roiland's like, my father died at Pearl Harbor. He would like this. Good job. It was great. Like I think they're super hard to find now, but if you can find like the Operation Kitten Calendar, it's awesome. And also Mr. Sprinkles.
So Mr. Sprinkles, yeah, I think like that was the most popular of it.
Well, yeah, that,
I've seen that.
Well, they both got voted back because the whole point of like, well, the whole gimmick of Explode.tv was like you would vote every week on the website, and then whichever one got the most votes, the two that got most votes came back every week. So basically, it was basically just Mr. Sprinkles and the Operation Calendar getting voted every week. Anyway, so I think now we can wrap up. Stay on the lookout for our Expendables 3 August commentary, which is coming up super soon. We're going to try to record that this coming weekend. And we'll have all the Expendables, we'll have our Expendables trilogy completed. You also go over to the site right now and check out my list of 10 people who should appear in Expendables. And you can go over to our Facebook page and debate that with us. And yeah, I think that's it. So for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, visit everythingaction.com. Email us at contact@everythingaction.com, facebook.com/everything.action, twitter.com/evaction, everythingaction.tumblr.com, and search for us on the iTunes Music Store and stitcher.com.